May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our God, our strength, and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Please be seated. Well, today is all about contrast. How God thinks, and sometimes how we think, and they don't match up. So as we start off with our hug, we pray, O God, you declare your almighty power chiefly in showing mercy and pity. And think about that. When we think about the word power, what comes to mind? Maybe a king, president, CEO, maybe Iron Man, maybe The Rock, maybe Bill Gates. That's our general conception of power. You know, somebody that's got it all is very strong. But what does our colleague say? Our colleague says, power, God's power, is mercy and pity. When we think of these words, these actions, these definitions, that's not our first thought of power, mercy, and pity. Does power, God bless you, does power or powerful really come to mind when we hear someone has mercy on someone or someone has pity? That's not how we think. But that's our prayer today in the collect. Mercy and pity, they are the heavenly treasures that we have asked to be partakers of, that we do, that we remember to do. Mercy and pity is how God shows his power. And so we are too. And then we've got the Old Testament. Same type of thought when we read in Amos that Larry read. Alas for those who are at ease in Zion and for those who feel secure on Mount Samaria. Alas for those who lie on beds of ivory, lounge on their couches, eat lambs from their flocks, and it goes on and on and on. Well, alas, think about that. Doesn't that seem strange to feel pity or concern for someone who, as far as society or the world might think, has everything? Alas, have concern for them? But there again, with all their possessions, with all their fine foods, with their comfort and their comfortable surroundings, and having time to even relax, time to listen to music, to enjoy the arts, to have leisure time, to drink and be merry. Why do we say alas? Because they have abused their gifts. They have squandered what God has given them because of their selfishness. They abuse their wealth, not because they're wealthy, but by not being aware of those in need. Wealth is good as long as we stay aware of what others need and we take care of them. Alas, also, because they had all that they wanted, but they weren't really interested in the needs of those around them. They didn't even see them. They weren't concerned. And they didn't have what they needed most of all, which was to have a focus, a center on God Almighty and his eternal life. Obviously, they certainly didn't share God's love, his forgiveness, or his gifts that he had given them. Generosity is a given if we belong to God, if we say we're Christians, if we're Jesus' followers. Always having mercy and pity, that's our power. And then I have to admit, before I get to the gospel, when I read the New Testament, I thought to myself, this letter from Paul to Timothy is a perfect example of what we are to be. And it actually makes an ideal confirmation class study. I thought of all the kids that we were studying confirmation just several months ago. and they will be confirmed. So it's going to take a bit. It takes us, or tells us, that if we really mean it, if we are serious about our Lord, it shows us what the mark of our faith should look like. We are to be righteous, in other words, having right actions, good actions before God. We are to be like Him, be godly. We are to have, and not only have faith, but use our faith, having and showing love, having and using endurance, using the power of God Almighty to make us do what He wants us to do, and all the time being gentle about it. Always, here it comes again, being ready to give and to share. So we have our gospel, and it's a good one. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and had fine linen, and he feasted sumptuously every day. So he had all that he wanted. And at his gate, there was a man named Lazarus. Now let's think about that. At his gate. So let's say that we have just done all we needed to do in the morning. We had breakfast, we brushed our teeth, we got dressed. We have everything we want. We're in comfort. We walk out. We see someone that's covered with sores right at our gate. And we keep walking on by. That's what this rich man did. He kept walking on by. And the dogs, which in connotation make this poor man, Lazarus, even more of an outcast because dogs were considered unclean. And the dogs would lick his sores. So the dogs were comforting Lazarus. That's where he got his comfort from, not from the rich man. And so we have their deaths. The poor man died, and the rich man died. Now the poor man, let's think about this, he suffered during his lifetime. But what happened? He was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. So think about that. They made it easier for him. The angels came down and carried him up. There was no more struggle. And he wasn't alone. He was with the angels of God being brought to Abraham and God Almighty. Now the rich man, he died too. And he was buried. In other words, lowered in the ground alone. That's a contrast. So the rich man found himself in a predicament. And he cried out to Father Abraham. He said, "Have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. For I am in agony in these flames." So think about that. Did the man, the rich man, ever say he was sorry? Did he ever repent? Did he ever even think to say, "Lazarus, you know, I really messed up. I ignored you. I'm sorry." But what does Lazarus want? The rich man wants Lazarus to comfort him, to put him at ease, something that he wasn't willing to do for Lazarus. He still is being selfish. He still hasn't seen his sin. He still isn't paying attention. And Abraham says to him, "Child, remember that during your lifetime, you had everything you need. And Lazarus basically had nothing. He was in agony." So now, Lazarus is in comfort, and you're not. And then he tells him, besides all this, by the way, there's this big chasm. So maybe the chasm was made by the rich man. The emptiness he had, the lack of responsibility, the lack of giving, the lack of loving, caring, being generous and sharing, the lack of having pity, the lack of having mercy. Maybe that's what the chasm really is. And so he says, so you really can't cross just yet. And then he says, Father, I beg you, send him then to my father's house. Well, that's a start. I gotta give him, that's a start. But still, who is he thinking of? Only his five brothers. He's not going beyond his own self or his own family. Like him, we don't want to be. We want to go beyond ourselves and beyond our families. We want to bring God to everyone. And he says, please let him go and warn them. And Abraham says, they have Moses, they have the prophets, they have their Bible, they have their worship times. They should listen. And he says, the rich man says, but no, Father Abraham, if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. Abraham says to him, well, if they don't listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead. Well, doesn't that sound familiar? Well, we're lucky, because that's what Jesus did for us. He rose from the dead. He saved us. We are saved now. But are we convinced? Do we take being a Christian really seriously? The greatest temptation for us is when we're thinking that we don't really need God, or, well, we can wait till tomorrow. We really don't listen. We don't really have to listen all the time. We don't have to really obey God. It'll be all right. Well, for me, the lessons tell me to take time to take a second look at what I and all of us, what we do, what we think, what we say. Are we ready to share? Are we ready to be generous? Are we ready to have mercy? Are we ready to have pity? Are we convinced to be faithful to Jesus? Do we use our faith as he wants us to do every day? Do we go out and actually share God's love and his forgiveness with others? Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we ask that you draw all of our hearts closer to you so that all that we think and do and say may be motivated by our love of you. And may we imitate your mercy, your pity, your generosity, and most of all, your love, your acceptance, and your compassion on all who are around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.